the federal government is still a good place to look for jobs, according to the Government Accountability Office. GAO's taking a look at the overall federal employment numbers, and they're on the rise, but there's a story behind those numbers. Robert Goldenkopf is Director of Strategic Issues at the Government Accountability Office. Robert, it is great to have you back on the program. Overall, when you looked at the federal workforce, what were you looking for when you started this work?
Well, Francis, let me give you some context for why we did this study to begin with. I mean, obviously, it goes without saying that the size and composition of the federal workforce has huge implications for both federal spending and also for the extent to which agencies can carry out their program goals. So what we were looking for was how to gain a better understanding of shifts in employment levels as well as changes in federal spending on salary and benefits to help inform some important program decisions and trade-offs that will be necessary going forward.
Now, you track trends in federal civilian personnel from 2004 to 2012 and some factors that affect those trends, and you looked at one other major issue, which we'll talk about in a moment. But overall, when you looked at those employment trends over that eight-year period, what did you see and what were some of those factors that you mentioned in this report?
Well, overall, the size of the federal workforce during that time period grew by about 1.9 million federal employees. It grew from 1.9 million employees to about 2.13 million employees, or an increase of about 260,000 people. But it's really important to peel back the layers and get an understanding of where that increase was happening. And so, for example, just three agencies accounted for 94% of that increase. DOD, which was trying to beef up its cybersecurity and acquisition workforce, among other things. The VA, where the VHA was increasing its workforce dealing with the medical and health-related services due to the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. The veterans needed services. And then also DHS, for reasons of border patrol, border security, had to beef up its workforce. So the point to all this is that, you know, there are lots of different numbers you can look at, lots of different trends, but you need to get behind those numbers and look at what's happening at the agency level, by position, by location, to really understand the complete picture.
You know, what I think is really interesting about this report, Robert, is that you did a terrific job, I think, of digging into these categories and helping us understand what agencies are changing what, essentially. This report says 10 agencies had fewer career permanent employees in 2012 than they did in 2004. That's pretty significant. And you also write that most of the increase, in addition to breaking it out by agency, as you just discussed a moment ago, most of the increase occurred in categories that require higher skill and educational levels, doctors and scientists, financial program managers, and you looked at the clerical, technical, blue collar and found that those numbers stayed pretty static. Is there something that we can learn then from the kinds of workforce that agencies will look at moving forward, or is it maybe too early to kind of try to extrapolate that kind of information?
Well, it's always hard to extrapolate forward based on past trends, but I think one thing is clear, because we've seen this trend happening now for a number of years, is that the federal workforce is no longer a workforce of clerks and paper pushers. There's a much higher demand, as you just said, for highly skilled occupations, positions that require greater educational levels. And that just reflects the type of work the government does. It's more of a knowledge-based workforce than a clerical workforce.
You looked at the potential for churn in the workforce, too, as part of this look at who's doing what, and you write, of the 1.96 million permanent career employees on board as of September 2012, so this is back a year and a half ago almost, around 270,000, 14%, were eligible to retire by September 2017. That's now 3.5 years from now. Nearly 600,000, around 31%, will be eligible to retire. We've been talking on and off about a retirement wave for 15 years or so, Robert. And if I look at these numbers, 31%, 3.5 years from now, it makes me think that this wave is going to hit the shore here pretty soon.
That's correct. And there are a number of things that affect when people who are retirement eligible, when they actually retire. One of the things we saw, for example, that during the recession, all types of attrition, including retirement, dipped a little bit. But as soon as the recession was over, right after 2009, attrition and retirements went right back up to historic levels. The key here is that, you know, some amount of churn in the workforce is good. It enables you to bring in new skills. It opens up opportunities for promotion. The downside is, of course, is that there's a cost to attrition. Training new employees, recruiting and hiring new employees. What I really want to underscore here is that agencies need to get behind these trends. Where is retirement going to happen? What occupations are going to be affected, what grade levels, and then do the appropriate talent management strategies, for example, succession planning, so that they don't wind up with a brain drain.
The other element of this that you looked at that I want to ask you about, Robert, is the extent, as the report says, to which federal civilian employee compensation has changed as a percentage of total discretionary spending and some reasons for this change. Did you find a change in that when you looked at the numbers?
Well, no, not as a share of total discretionary spending. You know, because the workforce increased in size during that time period, there are more people on the payroll, you would expect to see a larger amount of spending. And so what we did was we tried to look at the data in a way that sort of leveled the playing field. So that's why one of the things that we did was look at spending as a share of the federal, if we looked at compensation as a share of total federal discretionary spending, and it remained constant during that time period, around 14%.
The report says spending rose by an average of 1.2% each year, 106,000 about in 2004 to close to 117,000 in 2012. Much of this growth driven by increased personnel benefits cost, which rose at a rate of 1.9%. And I know it's a lot more complicated than this quick and dirty calculation I'm doing in my head, Robert, but that doesn't indicate to me that compensation, that pay rose by very much even in the years when there wasn't a pay freeze.
No, that $11,000 increase, that delta between $106,000 and $117,000, it doesn't necessarily mean that it wound up in the pockets of federal employees.
Yeah.
A lot of it went to the increased costs of health benefits. The government was just paying a larger share under FEHB. If you look at and this is on an FTE basis, a full-time basis. We wanted to look at the unit cost of each employee. That rose from about $78,000 to $84,000, about 1% per year.
Robert Goldenkopf of the Government Accountability Office, looking at the federal workforce. It's titled Recent Trends in Federal Civilian Employment and Compensation. You looked at this data. You talked to folks at OPM, OMB, and some other federal agencies. What overall did you draw out of this that decision makers in Congress or decision makers in agencies should be paying attention to, Robert?
Three things. Agencies need to determine the skills and competencies needed to perform their current and future missions. Second, they need to develop appropriate talent management strategies to address any gaps between the number or alignment of their skills with their current or future program needs. And the third thing they need to do is monitor and evaluate their progress towards closing any skill gaps that they may identify. The bottom line is that lawmakers, OPM, individual agencies, they need to have increasing visibility over their workforce. What's going to happen? When is it going to happen? Where is it going to happen? And then take appropriate steps.
Robert, we have a link to this report at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later today, and I thank you for coming back on the show to talk about it with me. I appreciate your time.
Great. Thank you. It's great to be here, Francis.
Robert Goldenkopf of the Government Accountability Office, and my conversation with Robert will be up on federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon.